The Sean Salisbury Show continues now with the Benchwarmers. Here's Sean Salisbury.
All right, we're rolling along here. It's time, and I want to get this guy fired up, but he's got the unenviable task of covering the Jets. But we're grateful he's on. Manish Mehta, New York Daily News, joins us here on the Sean Salisbury Show. My man, this is going to be rough, but welcome, and it's great to have you on.
Thanks for having me on, Sean.
Okay, well, let's try to find some positives if we can, and if we can't, that's okay, too. It's football. First, how does Todd Bowles, who, when he was a defensive coordinator and so respected in Arizona, and I truly am a fan, but when looking at this roster, how's he going to keep his job through this?
Well, if you take Woody Johnson at his word, the record won't necessarily determine whether Bowles will be back. Clearly, there's no playoff mandate because they're not going to be in the postseason picture. But the talk is that if the Jets' young core of players develops enough, then Bowles would be back. But it's interesting, Sean, because Bowles signed a four-year deal. Next year will be his final year. Yeah. Typically, as you know, coaches don't coach on that final lame duck season. So Woody Johnson is going to have to make a decision after this year whether to fire Bowles or to extend him for at least one season.
Manish, tell me your initial eyesight and visuals and optics of the Jets' young players that Mr. Johnson's talking about if they perform at a better level. Give us your initial thought on them at training camp.
Well, the two young safeties, the rookies, Jamal Adams and Marcus May, their first two picks this year, look absolutely terrific. And, you know, if you're there every day, you notice clearly that the best player on the field virtually every day is Leonard Williams, and that really shouldn't be a surprise. He's their best player in my estimation. The second best player that I have seen in this first week and a half of training camp has been Marcus May, their second-round pick, safety out of Florida. The guy's everywhere. He's making big hits. He's in position to get a pick virtually every practice in 11-on-11s. He's got a few himself anyway. And Jamal Adams, everybody knows what he brings to the table. I'll be curious to see how they make that transition, these two rookie safeties, when the regular season begins. But the early indications are these guys are legitimate players who could be the cornerstone of their back end for the next 5-10 years, if everything goes well. I think the younger players that Woody Johnson would specifically like to see, because you already know Leonard Williams is great and is probably going to be a perennial Pro Bowler, the other guys are guys that are lesser known around the league. Justin Burris, a rookie last year, a cornerback who showed some promise. I think he needs to progress. There's some younger players along the offensive line. Ultimately, though, Sean, you know in this league it's about the quarterback. And if Christian Hackenberg does not develop into that franchise quarterback, this franchise, this organization is going to have to turn its sights on what looks to be a loaded quarterback draft next year. I think ultimately the snapshot of this season for this organization is determining whether Hackenberg can be a part of their future, because if he is, great, they can go in a different direction near the top of the draft. If he's not, I don't think they're going to hesitate one bit to pull the trigger on a Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, or Josh Rosen.
Right, you mentioned Leonard Williams. He's a USC Trojan. Of course he's the best football player on the team. Manish Mehta, New York Daily News, covers football, covers the New York Jets, joins us here on the Sean Salisbury Show. Well, I'm going to get to the roster, go back to the roster in a second. You mentioned the quarterback competition. Manish, I know what McCown brings to the table. Heck, he's a pro. We know what we're going to get from him. But you draft Hackenberg in the second round. We got to find out. You just have to. And I don't care what the competition turns out, and I know the coach's job's on the line, but don't we got to run Hackenberg out there from the start just to see if we're going to take a Darnold or an Allen or a Rosen next year?
Well, I think that they need to get a healthy sample size. In my mind, that doesn't necessarily mean 16 games. At minimum, I would think 8 to 10 games, hopefully more. You want to see him play more than the last month of the season, like you saw in Bryce Petty last year. I don't think they're going to rush the situation. If he is not ready, if Hackenberg is not ready by week one when they go to Buffalo, they are not going to force feed the issue. That being said, he will get in sooner rather than later, so I can't imagine by early October that he wouldn't be the starting quarterback for all the reasons that you just outlined. But right now they're taking baby steps. It's interesting how they've handled him in this first week and a half of practice. It's been 10 practices. Today was the first time in which he got the majority of first-team reps in team drills. It was almost exclusively McCown in the first week, and Hackenberg got 6 reps with the first-teamers yesterday, 6 reps Monday, and a little bit more today. So he's clearly going to play a lot in this first preseason game this weekend against the Titans. They want him to find some level of success, even if it's with the backups, before moving him and graduating him to the starters. But time's running out. You know, training camp and preseason doesn't last forever. So, again, if they don't think he is ready when week one starts, then they will start Josh McCown.
Yeah, Manish, it's so frustrating. You know, the guy's big. He looks the part. I'm talking about Hackenberg. And it seems like in these last 2 years, it's been such a snail's pace. Now, I don't know if that's the Jets or if it's just that the fact that the guy is a slow study and not a quick study. We go back to Penn State. His freshman year, he was lights out. And he hasn't gotten better. He's a guy that you see it every day. He can throw a 20-yard comeback and everybody's jaw hangs down. And then he'll be a check down in front of him. He'll bounce it 4 feet to the right of the guy. I don't think he's ever going to be an accurate passer. Now, guys survive in the league if you're a big play guy. But why is this so slow? A second-round pick with a team that hasn't had a quarterback in quite some time. Fitzpatrick, pretty good. Why is Hackenberg coming along so slowly?
Well, I think what complicates the situation is that he is learning his second offense in his second season.
Yep.
But Chan Gailey's offense is much different than what Morton wants to run, timing and rhythm-based West Coast offense. So he is, in some respects, starting over in terms of the playbook. Now, what I will say is that people in the building are very encouraged by what their quarterback's coach, Jeremy Bates, has done with him in these few short months. It's going to take time, but I think the mechanical issues, I don't want to say have been entirely fixed because that's not fair, but they've certainly improved. What needs to happen with Christian Hackenberg is the mental side of it. It's his eye discipline. Sean, if you're a quarterback and you're looking at the rush and you're not looking beyond the rush and looking downfield, you're never going to be a successful player in this league. And that's something that Christian Hackenberg really has to correct. He was damaged in many respects by what happened those last couple years at Penn State after Bill O'Brien left. And again, it's a little bit slower than I think most people would like. It's certainly slower than what a second-round pick should be able to do. But again, he didn't choose being a second-round pick. I think if you talk to most people around the league entering last year's draft, they would have projected him to be a fourth, maybe even a fifth-round pick.
You make a great point, too. If you see the rush, then you're not feeling it. You got to feel the rush and see the coverage. And it's some veterans can't pick that up. It takes them a while. So I get it. In two systems in 2 years is tough, and we expect things from him. It'll be interesting to see how quickly Hackenberg continues to progress. Sell me. Well, first of all, and I do not mean this disrespectful, but I guess it sounds disrespectful. Is it the worst roster in the league? And have you seen one worse?
Well, you know what? You're never really out of that conversation when you're contending with the Clevelands and
San Francisco.
Francisco, right. Yeah, I don't think you can put Jacksonville in that category anymore because I think they've got an up-and-coming defense. So I'll take them out of the equation here. It's certainly in the running and probably in the lead right now, the clubhouse leader for the worst offense in the league. They don't have playmakers at the wide receiver position. They're going to be counting on Austin Seferian Jenkins, who's got a world of talent, as you know, but has had some personal issues in the past, and I think there's some demons that he's conquered. Let's see how that translates on the field when he comes back after his two-game suspension to start the season. The wide receivers are so inexperienced. They're so green, for lack of a better term, no pun intended, but and the backfield. You know, the backfield's got Bilal Powell, who to me is a good complimentary back, and an aging star in Matt Forte, who clearly isn't what he was 3-4 years ago. So they don't have playmakers at the skill positions or enough dynamic pieces on that side of the ball, I think, to make a difference. It's going to be tough sledding, generating points in John Morton's scheme and with the players that they have. So I think when you look at 2018 and beyond, they're sitting on about $80 million in salary cap space for next year. I would imagine that they would bring in some offensive playmakers in free agency. I would certainly imagine if Hackenberg doesn't live up to what they thought he would be, that they would take a quarterback with a top five pick. So they're going to address the offensive side of the ball next year. That doesn't do them any good this year, of course. So I think you're going to see a lot of games in which you're going to be hard-pressed to score 12, 13 points even.
Manish, we only got 5 seconds, but I got to ask you, did they quit on Todd Bowles last year?
I don't think they quit on Todd Bowles. If you talk to the players, they have an immense amount of respect for him. I think Bowles needs to correct how he handles different personalities in that locker room. He treats them all equally. I don't think that was the right tack.
Manish Mehta, New York Daily News. Great stuff. I hope you'll join us again. This is great info, and we look forward to having you come on again. It was awesome.
Anytime, Sean.
Thanks. That's Manish Mehta, New York Daily News, covering the Jets. He's got a task. One of the toughest tasks in the league will be his job this year, I assure you. There'll be a lot of frustration in that locker room. Somehow you guys are going to have to sell me on how they win three or four games. We're coming back.